Well, let me begin by saying Happy Mother's Day. I'm so sorry that this is the way we're spending Mother's Day. I wish that you were in the room so I could give you a flower and wish you a Happy Mother's Day in person, but just consider yourself hugged and consider this a virtual flower as we celebrate you moms. We're grateful for you. We wouldn't be here without you, and we celebrate you today. You know, we are continuing our journey called Church Moving Forward. We're walking through the book of Acts, and if you have a copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you to open it up to Acts chapter 8 today. Acts chapter 8, and we're going to continue walking through this journey together. I don't know how many sports fans I'm talking to today, but I'm a huge sports fan. I love watching sports, which means for the past couple of months, this has been a little bit difficult. Where every time you turn on the television, you're not seeing a current sport, you're seeing flashbacks from sports in the past. A lot of it's been fun because we've been able to kind of recap and revisit some of the greatest games and some of the greatest teams that have ever played. Some of the greatest players, it's been great to have a spotlight on them just to kind of revisit those days because you can remember when you saw it in person. You know, in sports, here's one thing that we've learned. If a team is going to be great, it takes a whole lot more than just great players or great fans. It even takes more than good coaches in the box calling good plays. Great teams are teams that trust the eye in the sky. You know, there are coordinators and coaches that live in the booth above, and they see the game from a completely different vantage point than the guys do down below. They see the big picture. And if teams are going to be great, they've got to learn to trust what the coordinators are communicating from above. In the same way, Christ followers have to trust God. He has a completely different vantage point than we do. He sees things and opportunities and people in ways that we simply can't. And so when we learn to listen to Him and trust Him and respond to Him in faith, we can position ourselves to take advantage of opportunities that we would miss out on if we weren't listening to the Lord. As we continue our study in Acts chapter 8 today, we're going to see how Philip demonstrates how to live with that kind of faith. We're going to see that Philip was both attentive to God's voice and obedient to God's commands. And my prayer is that we would be able to say that very same thing about our own lives today. We are attentive to God's voice, and we're obedient to God's commands. Let me go ahead and recap where we're coming from as you're turning to Acts chapter 8. Philip was chosen as one of the first seven deacons in the early church. Some commentaries actually call Philip God's pioneering evangelist, which means that he was basically the Billy Graham of the first century. So far in the text, we see him performing many miracles and works and signs in the name of Jesus. And it also tells us that Saul and his men were going house to house in those days, attacking the early church. In fact, they actually killed Stephen, one of the seven deacons, by stoning him to death. And they drove the early Christians out of Jerusalem. The Bible says that they scattered to places like Judea and Samaria. So understand this. Philip went to Samaria. He preached the gospel. And he saw many people believe in Jesus and be baptized, including Simon the sorcerer. Now, as Philip is continuing his ministry to the non-Jews, we come to verse 26, and we see in this text that God has a message for Philip. This is what it says. An angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, "Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." Remember, he was attentive to God's voice. He heard him, and God said, go. Go where? He said, go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, I want you to see where this is on the map. This is a picture of where he would have traveled in that day. He starts here, and God tells him in this passage, go to Gaza. And so if you follow the red line, you can see how he would have traveled from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, Luke included that description for a reason. He wanted Theophilus to understand what God was asking Philip to do. He was asking him to leave a place where he was comfortable, to leave a place where he was doing a good job. God was saying to him, move from a place where your ministry is effective and good and people are being saved and baptized. He's saying, I want you to leave that place now. And God didn't tell him just to go to Gaza. He says, go south on the desert road to Gaza. See, that was a road that was about 50 miles long. It was a rocky desert road that had very little access to drinking water. In other words, God was calling him to go on a very tough journey. This is way before paved roads, way before vehicles. This was a tough journey ahead. You say, why was God asking Philip to leave a place he was familiar with to go to Gaza in the first place? I mean, Philip didn't have a clue, right? But look at how he responds in verse 27. It says, so he got up and he went. I love that. Philip was attentive to God's voice. God called him to leave a place where he was at and go somewhere difficult without any explanation. And Philip immediately started walking. Verse 27 says, so he got up and he went. There was an Ethiopian man, a eunuch, and high official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to worship in Jerusalem and was sitting in his chariot on his way home, reading the prophet Isaiah aloud. God didn't tell Philip that he was going to encounter an important foreign leader, but Philip was ready. That's the way that God works oftentimes, isn't it? I mean, he doesn't show us the big picture. He shows us one step at a time. Philip trusted the eye in the sky. And as a result, he moved forward in faith. And now God was preparing him to meet an Ethiopian eunuch. Now, some of you may hear me saying that today and you're wondering, what exactly is an Ethiopian eunuch? Well, let me tell you, it's a eunuch from Ethiopia. That word eunuch most of the time refers to castration. Okay, I've got some of your attention now, all right? It refers to castration. And if you don't know what that means, Jeff Lovingood would love to explain it to you right now in his Facebook watch party. And so feel free to find him on the internet. Or you can just text the word eunuch to 74784. I'm just kidding. All right, not really. But in that day, if a certain male was in close working relationship with a royal woman, he would become a eunuch in order to eliminate the threat of tainting the royal bloodline. I hope that was clear. But this man worked directly with the queen of the Ethiopians. And as a part of the job description, he had to become a eunuch. It makes you wonder how that job interview went down, right? I mean, is there anything else I need to know about this job, right? Oh yeah, well, I'm glad you asked. There's one more thing that you need to know. Awkward. The Bible says this eunuch had gone from Ethiopia all the way to Jerusalem in order to worship. In those days, Ethiopia referred to an area south of modern-day Egypt near Sudan, the land of Cush. It's not modern-day Ethiopia at all. But regardless of its exact location, it was hundreds of miles away from Jerusalem. Which tells me that this man had some kind of faith. We don't know if he had faith in the God Yahweh or if he came to Jerusalem to worship other gods, false gods. I personally believe that he was familiar with the Jewish religion and was there to worship Yahweh because the Bible tells us he was reading the book of Isaiah. Some people believed he picked the scroll up in Jerusalem as a souvenir. But either way, he had God's word and was reading it out loud when Philip first saw him. So let's recap real quick. God told Philip to go, and he went. And as he traveled, he saw an Ethiopian eunuch sitting in a chariot reading the scroll of God's word. And in that moment, verse 29 tells us, the Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. So once again, God tells Philip to go. And I know it sounds like God was calling him to do something easy in that day, because we read this like a story and we don't read it like it's real life. But what God was asking Philip to do in this moment, it would have been tough. I mean, imagine you're walking down the road and traffic is a little bit heavy and everybody has their windows rolled down on the road. And God tells you in that moment, hey, do you see that red Prius over there stuck in traffic? I want you to get up from where you're at and go to that Prius. I mean, it would be really hard to get out of your car door or to walk up to that window and to see them reading something on their tablet and you yell, hey, the Spirit of God told me to come to you in your Prius and to stay close to you, so I'm here. I mean, that's not easy, right? But that's exactly what Philip did. Look at what he says in verse 30. It says, when Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Let me tell you what I love about Philip. I love the way that he responds to the Lord. In both of these cases, God tells Philip, go. Go do something hard. Go do something scary. Go do something that requires great faith. Go do something without a guarantee that it's going to be easy or successful. I just want you to go. And in both cases, check it out, Philip didn't hesitate. He went. Verse 30 says, Philip ran up to the chariot. You see it? He ran to the chariot. You know why he ran? Because he recognized the voice that was telling him to go. What does John 10:27 say? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is the way it plays out in my mind. You ready? If you're truly a born again child of God that is committed to following the Lord's plan for your life, check this out. You know his voice. Do you know the voice of God today? I believe when you love God, you listen to God. And when you listen to God, you're gonna begin to trust God. And when you're trusting God, you're gonna obey God. And when you obey God, you're gonna follow God. Now think about that. And if you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down because it applies to us today. It begins by loving the Lord. And when you love him, you're gonna listen to him. When you listen to him, you're gonna trust him. When you trust him, you're gonna obey him. And when you obey him, you're gonna follow him. Verse 29 goes on to say, the Spirit told Philip, go and join that chariot. And Philip ran up to the chariot. When is the last time you really ran? I'm not talking about exercising. I'm talking about something happened and you responded with urgency. And as a result of your urgency, you ran. Your child was playing in the street and you could see the car coming, or you forgot to put the trash out by the curb and you could hear the trash truck coming, so you run your trash out to the curb. Or maybe you're that crazy person that chases the ice cream truck as it passes by your house. I don't know, but let me ask you, what makes you run? When Philip heard God's voice and received God's instructions, the Bible tells us he ran. He didn't wait. He didn't pray about it. He didn't have to because God was clear. He didn't drag his feet. He didn't ask a bunch of people their opinions. He didn't hesitate. He didn't take a vote. The Bible says he responded and he ran. If you listen, God will give you clear instruction and direction. And when that happens, ask this question. Do I spend more time running from God's call in my life, or do I spend more time running to God's call for my life? In verse 30, we see that God wanted Philip to chase that chariot because he had a job for Philip to do. Verse 30 said, when Philip ran up to it, he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? How can I, he said, unless someone guides me? So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the scripture passage he was reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who will describe his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. The eunuch said to Philip, I ask you, who is the prophet saying this about, himself or someone else? Philip proceeded to tell him the good news about Jesus, beginning with that scripture. What a powerful moment, and really a powerful example or model for personal evangelism for us today. In this story, Philip was ready and he was willing and he was able to share the good news about Jesus Christ. What was the result of chasing that chariot? Can I tell you? In Philip's life, the eunuch heard the good news, responded to the gospel, and the Bible tells us was baptized. In fact, verse 36 says, as they were traveling down the road, they came to some water. The eunuch said, look, there's water. What would keep me from being baptized? How cool is that? I mean, this man already had read God's word. He already knew that he was supposed to be baptized, and now he's demonstrating the kind of obedience that Philip was really modeling. He was like, God told me to be baptized. I'm going to be baptized. I don't have to wait. There's no reason for me to hesitate. I'm ready to obey God right now. And then in most translations of the Bible, verse 37 is just a footnote, and it's not included in the manuscript. But I want to share it with you today just so you can see what this next verse says. Verse 37, Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There is no greater testimony than that. And as a result of that testimony, it says in verse 38, so he ordered the chariot to stop, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. So what was the result of chasing chariots? In Philip's life, the eunuch heard the gospel, responded to the gospel, was saved, was baptized. The result of chasing chariots. In our lives today, check it out. Lost people are saved. What's the result? When we chase chariots in our life, guess what? You're gonna see lost people come to faith in Christ. Mark it down. If you're committed to sharing the gospel, people will get saved. And it's not you that does the saving. It's just God fulfilling a promise that his word doesn't return void. In fact, in Isaiah 55:11, he says, so my word that comes from my mouth will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please and will prosper in what I send it to do. Isn't that cool? God sends his word to do a great work in our lives. And what does he desire? What is his purpose? It tells us in 1 Timothy 2:4 that God is one who wants everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You get that? God sends his word to do a great work because he wants everyone to come to faith in Christ and to be saved. So when we chase chariots and when we share God's word, the Bible lets us know lost people will be saved. Let me give you one more result. The result of chasing chariots in our lives today. The Bible lets us know that God will use you. God will use you. God used Philip to save the Ethiopian eunuch. And now this guy is about to head back to Ethiopia as a saved man that was forever changed in that encounter. But God wasn't through with Philip yet. Let's pick up in verse 39. It says in verse 39, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him any longer, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip appeared in Azotus, and he was traveling and preaching the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So once again, I want you to see the map so you can kind of track the steps. What started in Jerusalem went all the way to Gaza, and now we're leaving the place of Azotus, headed north to a place called Caesarea along the sea. And so you've got Philip, right? He's snatched up by the Lord and sent on his next mission from God. He ended up in a place called Azotus, a Philistine city that was about 20 miles north of Gaza and 35 miles west of Jerusalem. The Bible tells us that Philip faithfully preached the gospel, obeying God one step after another. And he was used by God to fulfill the Great Commission. What a story for us. What a model for us today. And one that reminds us that if you love the Lord and you listen to the Lord, you're going to trust the Lord, you're going to obey the Lord, and as a result, you're going to follow his commands in your life. And you know what? God will use you. Let me hit you with this crazy thought today. If we're going to be maximized in our lives, we've got to trust the eye in the sky. I want to say that again. If we're going to be maximized in our lives, we've got to trust the eye in the sky. We've got to trust the Lord and the leadership that he offers us through his word and through his spirit and through his people. Let me give you some good guidance that we can pick up and apply from this passage. You ready? I want you to write this down if you're taking notes today. First of all, we've got to be attentive to the Spirit's voice. We've got to lean in and we've got to listen because he's speaking. On three different occasions in this story, Philip's sensitivity to the Spirit's voice advanced the kingdom of God. In the same way, we as believers today need to be attentive to what God is telling us to do. You know, God says in Isaiah 28, listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. But if we aren't walking close to God, we're not going to be able to hear his voice. And if we don't hear him, we can't obey him. And if we don't obey God, we're not going to be used by God. So first and foremost, we've got to be attentive to the Spirit's voice as we navigate this thing called life. The second thing I really want to encourage you to do is to be obedient to the Spirit's direction. Be obedient to his direction. God makes it very clear that we're supposed to hear him and we're supposed to obey him. James 1:22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. I love this. Do what it says. God expects us to follow his direction even when we can't see the final destination. I want you to go here. Yes, sir. I want you to give this. I want you to sacrifice in this area. I want you to do something that's completely out of your comfort zone. Okay, God, as difficult as this may be, I'm going to do what you're asking me to do. That's what Philip reminded me of this week. That's what our response ought to look like. He reminded me of what the psalmist says in 119 verse 105. He said, your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. Have you heard that verse before? Say it with me. Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. And that's the way he works. He never said that the word of God is going to be a spotlight that would reveal miles and miles of your journey ahead. He didn't say that. But he says if we're attentive to his voice, he'll give us enough light for that very next step. You know, there are a bunch of singing competitions on television today, but there's one particular show that fascinates me, and that's The Voice. I love this concept because when a person initially auditions and sings, the judges have their back turned to the person. In that moment, they have to eliminate every distraction in the room. They can't have any prejudice or preconceived ideas that are based off of appearance because they can't see the person that's singing. They base their every move off of one thing and one thing alone. You ready? The voice. Imagine if we decided today that we were going to live our lives in that same way. Imagine if we just eliminated all the distractions that cloud the way that we think and we based our every single move on the voice of God. That is what he's called us to do. So the question I want you to consider today is simply this. What is God calling me to do? What chariot is God calling me to chase? And let me ask you, will you be faithful with that very next step? What is that next step for you? Most likely, you're the only person that can answer that question. But for some of you, I believe that next step is a step of faith and a step of salvation. Perhaps there's never been a time when you've gone all in with Jesus. Maybe you know about Jesus, or maybe you say, I've been around Jesus or Jesus people my whole life. But let me ask you, when was the moment you met him? When was the moment you surrendered your life to him? When was the moment you can say, my everything changed because Jesus came into my heart, I turned away from my sin, and I am forever a child of God with hope and faith and life that I never had? Have you had that experience? If you haven't had that experience, I want to encourage you to take that next step. You can do that even right now by engaging in a conversation via text. I want to encourage you to send the word SAVED to 74784. And we would love to text you back and connect with you right now to have a conversation about what that looks like. That next step is the most important step you will ever take. The moment where you give your life to Christ and you become a new creation in him and through him. For some of you, that next step is baptism. And I want you to be encouraged today. You know, we just saw in that passage of scripture how they didn't wait, they didn't hesitate. When he had faith in Christ, the very next step was baptism. Some of you have trusted Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, but you've never taken that next step. Why are you waiting? You don't have to think about it. You shouldn't have to pray about it. God makes it very clear that the next step after salvation is baptism. And so right now, if you hear that, understand that, and believe that, I want you to text the word baptism to that same number, 74784. And we want to schedule your baptism this week. where you can raise your flag for Christ and say, from this point forward, my life is going to identify with the life of Christ. Your next step may be joining a small group. And believe it or not, you can join virtually from anywhere in the world right now. And you can follow the instructions on the screen for how you can join a small group in the coming days. Maybe your next step is going on a mission trip or sharing your faith or going into full-time ministry or moving to a remote village in Africa as a full-time missionary. Listen, only you know what God is calling you to do. And now, you're ultimately responsible for your response. What is God calling you to do right now? Are you willing to trust Him with that very next step? My prayer is that we would take our cues from Philip and that we would put our yes on the table and pursue Jesus like we've never pursued anything else in our life. God bless you.